What do you do when you threw your homily in the garbage? You let the Lord speak. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. It's something we often hear when someone's on the other end of a camera. It's not uncommon that you hear those things coming from me. Three words that carry a powerful request. But they require a free response. We might think about someone feeding a little child. Look at me. Or giving instructions when you're the guide on a hiking adventure. Maybe an instructor in class trying to prepare people for something important that's going to be said. There's always those moments where there's that person who's looking somewhere else, distracted. Have you ever noticed sometimes it's the same person in the printed photograph that isn't looking ahead? Ever walk into a restaurant and see a dinner table of people all in their phones and your heart just says, look up? Or maybe you know the experience of addiction and you're the one whose head is down. We can think of a teenager in trouble. And mom and dad, look at me. Or the most difficult of circumstances, when shame has rooted so deeply that even the person can't raise their head. A circumstance when suddenly life is not worth looking at. We live in a world that can't look up. And it isn't our cell phones, my friends, that have made this happen. There is something rooted in the human experience that's turned inward and turned down. And we see in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the circumstances of the lame beggar. We might think to ourselves that at one time he was just a little boy. It says since he was a child, he was a little boy and his parents fed him. But while it's not explicit, it's very possible that his parents passed away. And from that moment on, he needed to find help. And so what a gift to have friends that would bring him to the gate, to the temple, so that he could beg and end up with bread. But if any of you have ever met someone in these circumstances, if any of you have ever been on mission in a way and when you've seen what it's like to beg in the public, it's a dangerous place. And we can imagine that if he has been doing this day in and day out for all of his life, that there are some days that maybe those that were to come and get him forgot. and maybe days in which he was wounded and beat up and broken. And that over time, something worse than even someone bowing their head and begging from God is someone who stops begging from him. Someone who stops begging in a way in which you're able to have hope. And the sense of despair, the sense of shame, the sense of loneliness. It's even possible. It doesn't say who his friends are. It doesn't say who helped him. It's possible that even his friends got tired of helping out. These people might be people that are carrying him into town because they're taking a cut. This is the circumstance that Peter and John come upon. This is the face that Peter and John speak to. This is a face that can't look up. It's not in the readings for today, but just before the passages from today, in the chapter 3 of the Acts of the Apostles, we hear. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried, who laid there daily at the gate of the temple, asking for alms of those who entered. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him. And with John said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention upon them. Look at us. Look at me. Like a loving father trying to draw a little child from his guilt and confusion and doubt to trust it's worth lifting your head. As a result of what happens in this circumstance, not only is the lame man healed, the lame man stands up, but then he won't leave him. And then it says that everyone else started to come near. And it goes on and it says that when they were here, it says, while they clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. Astounded. But then, something that doesn't make sense. Peter then says, "Why are you looking at us?" Why are you looking at us? And so he goes on. Peter saw this and he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? It was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, in his name this man stands before you. Healed. Look at us. Now look at him. Each of you. Understand a world that's hungry. You know a life of distraction, disengagement, discouragement, and doubt. Maybe even a life of addiction, of guilt, and that deep-rooted shame that's so hard to get out. And maybe this isn't your particular journey, but you definitely know what we're talking about. Your journey might be something more like the anxiety of needing to perform according to a standard we're not sure who began or who set or who keeps moving higher. The worry that comes about what it is that we're to do and how to provide for ourselves at the next step in the journey. Or the perplexities that come to our own heads and minds and hearts because of these phones. But they didn't start the problem. The evil one did. Why are you here? Here, today, now. Why are you looking at me? Whether it's explicitly because of another person's words or witness, or implicitly because of a gathering of people that lived the joy that seemed to speak to you, somehow you heard in your heart, look at us, and felt inside yourself a call that came from God. And you freely chose to respond. You have freely chosen to fix your attention on us. An us that maybe is a boyfriend or a girlfriend. An us that maybe is the family that's around the table of the one we love. Or maybe it's all of those people at Welcome Week. Or the Bible studies where the Lord begins to speak his word and the word begins to crack places in our hearts. Possibly it's just having a need to study somewhere. Or a desire to play games. Or might I not forget, a hunger for food. We have fed almost 5,000 meals just this year. students who are hungry. But witnesses and missionaries of Jesus who know that there's a deeper hunger, and it's a healing of the human heart. And so, you, in a very concrete way today, have said, I know him, and I want to be fed with more. And you represent so many people here today, and those that couldn't be with us, and those that are in different parts of this land, who have been a part of your journey, are a part of your journey, or will be a part of your journey. But a journey that is able to say, we are the church, a people who have been like all of the rest, but been reached by him. Throughout your personal journeys, they include and are people who are here today, those who have prayed for you, those who have played for you, and those who have helped you pay attention to God who is working in your lives. And so now, today, you will stand up. And you will continue the great witness to the world of a head held high by a power that seems to come from people, but a power that comes from God. And the only way for the world to know that that is true is to witness a person. A person who can look up. Look at us. It is in the name of Jesus that we have been healed. As I call forward the candidates for the sacrament of confirmation, please stand. Alexander Ware. Anthony Leonardi. Nick Lord. Morgan Hinckley. Hans Leonard. Avery Massey. Marcus Clausen. Alexis Moran. Troy Durst. Yesenia Angeles Espinoza. Joey Lombard.